Hey, this is Carlos Cavallo. Welcome back to the show. It's kind of neat how we can all be these instant celebrities. You can have your very own show just by producing a podcast. Well, I wanted to do more than that. I don't want to be famous. I don't need that. I wanted to give all the information that I knew out there to people like you that could help you have a better relationship, to understand that there is a way of understanding how love and relationships work. It can be done. It's absolutely understandable. And that's what I do for you here today as we talk about how to save a relationship. I want to talk about five simple steps you can use to save your relationship. And I want you to notice that I said five simple steps, not easy steps. I'm not going to kid you. Anytime a relationship is in jeopardy, it's going to require you to stretch and grow as a person. Because relationships themselves, well, they are themselves the best kind of self-growth. But if you know what you're doing, and you've got your trusty Carlos C. here to guide you, that would be me, yes, I'm Carlos C., you'll never make a wrong step. Just follow my roadmap back into his heart. So let's get your romance back on with step number one, get your truth serum ready. I'm guessing that if you read any relationship book out there, you probably know that communication is the most important part of any relationship. It's probably the most cliche bit of advice I can give you. But let me tell you which communication you should focus on, because not all of it is really that necessary. You know what the biggest one is, the most important? Honesty. Honesty is highly undervalued these days. We don't seem to expect anyone to be honest anymore. You know, I could blame Richard Nixon for destroying our trust, but I'll just tell you that right now we need a major infusion of honesty in our world. Stat, as they say on all those hospital shows. When it comes to relationships, you have to be willing to both tell the truth as well as seek the truth. Hey, I'll be the first to admit, it's not easy. In a world that rarely gives us any loving strokes, asking someone to tell you the uncomfortable reality, well, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, who wants honesty if it's just going to make us feel worse, right? The world is doing that for us. It would be so much nicer just to float in a pool full of cheap flattery and call it a day. But the truth is that the longer you swim around in lies and fake feel-good nonsense, the harder it is to come back from the dark side. Eventually, the truth does come out. So if you know that your relationship can only survive on a foundation of honesty, why is it so hard to be honest? I think it's because of how we incorrectly expect relationships to fix all our personal issues. Feel insecure? Get into a relationship. That'll fix it. Not. That mistake took me years to figure out. What I eventually discovered is that our rabid hunger for a relationship is usually the biggest sign that you've got some inner holes that need filling. If you need a relationship with another person that much, if the loneliness is so strong, well, it's probably more about you and what you're missing right now. Newsflash, you'd still be missing it in the relationship, which is why this tactic never works. But no matter how much I say this, just about everyone on the planet will still figure that it's the job of their partner to act in a way that doesn't activate all their insecurities and inner weirdness. After all, it's their fault, right? In other words, we keep blaming them. For now, just keep in mind that honesty really is the best policy in a relationship. Those first few lies you tell might feel like you're steadying the ship, but eventually the storm of truth will sink your relationship like a tsunami. Now, before I pull out another clever metaphor like that nautical one there, let's move on quickly to step number two, drop the dice. If there's one thing that will kill a relationship just as fast as dishonesty, it's playing games. And no, I don't mean Uno or Monopoly or anything like that. I'm talking about the subtle manipulation we use in relationships to get what we want, to manipulate the power balance. After all, game playing is just another form of dishonesty and lies. And the lie is this. If I don't think I can get my needs met by asking for them, I will probably start being tricky and manipulative to get them met. And that's how it starts. There are many men and women that only feel that they can get their needs met in a relationship by using these clever power games to get them. Sometimes we discover that we just don't know how to ask for them. The first resolution thing is really big though. You gotta make a commitment to drop or at least radically reduce the amount of game playing in your relationship. That's what I mean by dropping the dice. What constitutes game playing? Well, here's a short list. Control games, where you try to control the relationship so that there are no unknowns and you can feel more certain. Sympathy games, where we act like a self-pitying fool to get some attention and love. Pity the fool. Guilt-tripping games. The classic, where you make someone feel extra guilty for something bad they did, so you can feel superior, and they are now your minion. Well, you get my point, right? There are literally dozens and dozens of these involved psychological games that we play every day. I even created a whole program on social games years back to warn people about all the ways that we get manipulated, even by strangers. Now, the point is that the games must stop if the love is to flow. Now, I'm thinking about it. I should probably revise that program of mine and re-release it. I think everybody would get a big, big boost out of it. Anyway, step number 3, get nasty. Now, this might sound a little weird to you, but one of the best ways to stop the buildup of toxic crap in your relationship is to boink it out. Yeah, do the nasty as much as you possibly can. The problem with sexual intimacy, especially here in America, where there's this weird kind of relationship to our natural sexual desires, well, this problem with sexual intimacy is that it comes with too much baggage. Really, lose the weirdness and get nasty more often. As it turns out, it will make your relationship stronger. 1, guys are more happy and in touch with you the more you get it on, not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'ams either. 2, you will feel better. Okay, you're getting that itch scratched. And 3, you're going to want it more. Now, 3 is going to make you a little nervous when I explain the reason why. Because, well, mostly because it isn't a politically correct truth. But it's true anyway. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of things that aren't true to say, but they are true. And that really is one of those things. That's the biggest problem I have with this whole political correctness crap. Anyway, here's the truth. When you start doing it, in other words, getting sexual, especially when you might not initially feel like doing it, you're going to find yourself getting in the mood to do it after a while. In other words, if you wait until you feel like it or get in the mood, you're going to probably miss out on 3/4 of the sex you really want to have. Let's be real. Sex isn't always going to be a romantic comedy movie for you where you succumb to his charms and the whole romantic seduction thing. And if that just felt dangerously weird to hear, don't worry. Most people won't feel warm and fuzzy about it. But it's a scientific fact. Whereas men are in the mood all the time, women don't typically get that much into the mood until the party gets started, if you know what I mean. Now, I'm already prepared for the feminist hate mail I'm going to get on this one, but that's just the truth, friends. Yes, it can happen both ways. You can start up with romance and lead into sex, or you can start with sex and get into romance. But that's part of a woman's strength, is that she can choose her arousal. And if you doubt any of this, by the way, you should look at the latest findings and the reasons about this in a really good book called Why Women Have Sex by Cindy Meston. Go find that one on Amazon. It will, or maybe won't, shock you. All right, moving on to step 4. Reinforce you. You gotta have strong boundaries, girl. No two ways about it. Boundaries are where a man feels that his will, can't overrun yours. And they are absolutely essential. These boundaries are absolutely essential if you're going to have a chance at a long-term relationship. Simply put, if you don't have places that you stop a guy from running amok, he will run amok. It's what we guys do. We're built for it. We always push boundaries and limits. Hey, girls do it too, but differently, right? But seriously, you do need to make sure a man knows where he can't cross your lines, complete with your consequences for when he does. Human beings do not respect people who let other people walk all over them, ignore them, withhold the truth, use them. You know, I think we understand this on a certain level, but we lower our boundaries when we get worried about losing somebody, and then what happens? Yeah, the boundaries go away, and we end up being treated like a rug. So if that's a worry for you, then, well, you really need to hear this next step, which is step 5, get him. Now, if I were to estimate how many women I've met that really understand what a man wants in a woman and a relationship, I'd say about 1 in 20 has a clue. I'm not exaggerating here. And the same goes the other way. Most guys are just as clueless about what a woman is looking for. and just how much we both want different flavors of the same candy. So when it comes to the number one step and the number one skill that will give you success in your relationship, it's really simple. You have to really get him. I mean, understand him. That's what I mean by get him. Like no other woman can. This is the ninja trick that you will never hear in one of those trashy Cosmo articles. It's so powerful that it will make the difference between you getting married to him versus him dating you, but probably not making you that much of a priority. You ever felt like that? Are you feeling like that right now? Are men complicated? No, we're actually very simple. Very simple. But a guy's immediate needs are often very confusing to a woman. I'll give you a hint here. Those needs are not really about sex. That's just a distraction. You see, most women believe that a guy should behave just like a woman. This is what I call the fallacy of the gender. But the weird thing is that guys don't think that way. We don't think that women should act like men. Men just readily accept upfront that women are going to come from a different set of needs. So what do you need to know about men to understand them? First, he's going to try to get you into bed as soon as possible. Now, this probably isn't news to you, or at least it shouldn't be. Your mom and your girlfriends should have brought you up to speed on this when you first started wearing a training bra. But here's something you might not know. A man will fall in love with you to the degree that you do not let him get away with that quick sex. While simultaneously, you can make him think he could get away with that. Wow, that's kind of a mind bender, huh? But it's also true. And the women that learn this little essential fact through my programs, usually, are the ones that typically get men. If you didn't get this understanding when you were a girl from your mom, you got to get it from somebody. Hey, they get men by understanding us, and then they get men by getting more men to fall in love with them. You ever meet one of those women, the one that guys seem to chase down on the street to compliment, even though she's not all that hot? Or those women that are annoyed by all the guys that are calling them up and trying to get a date or proposing to them? Yeah, I don't feel sorry for her either. Probably calling her a bitch under your breath, but that's okay. Look, there was once a woman who was the perfect example of the woman that every man adored and desired. Her name was Cleopatra. She was the first woman to really capture the power of being irresistible with men. Now, I did some research and I found some shocking secrets. And then I decided that every woman needed to know these secrets about what men want, and the secrets that women knew about men, certain women knew about men. I took a ton of notes, I scanned through all of the historically irresistible women throughout the years, like Cleopatra, Marilyn Monroe, Greta Garbo, Helen of Troy. What was it that these women had that men died for? What is it that's their power? What is their secret? You want to know what it is? Go on over to datingadviceguru.com/irresistible. That's datingadviceguru.com/irresistible and find out what these women knew and how they got men. I mean, get them in both ways. This is Carlos Cavallo, your ever vigilant and eager dating advice guru from datingadviceguru.com. I'll be talking again soon. Live and love with passion.
DatingAdviceGuru.com, the Dating Advice Guru podcast and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at www.datingadviceguru.com, on the forum, or click the Ask Carlos link on the site. We welcome your comments and questions.